may be seated. I see Shirley brought her congregation with her. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Okay. And we will dismiss the children to Children's Church. Today is more than just a special day, being Christmas. Today, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a day that represents the love of God to all of us. This is how God proved his love. And in Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul, writing to the Roman church, said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Today represents that in a very practical way. I know there were thousands of trees cut down and ground into pulp and made into wrapping paper, and it is now strewn all over the house. Kids are now have gotten tired of the toys and are now playing with the boxes and the packaging. Saw a little bit of that last night, okay. We celebrate today as God's ultimate demonstration of his love to each one of you as well as myself. Think for just a moment about the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and the many other religions scattered around the world. They have no demonstration of their God's love for them. We are the only one in the world who have God communicating with us about his love. And he sent his evidence in the form of a man, really in the form of a baby. How humble. For most of this country, this is just a holiday. It's not a necessarily special time of relationship, not with our Heavenly Father for most of this country. For those whom I have named, they need to be most pitied. They don't have a reason for Christmas, a reason for joy. Today is supposed to be, for all of us, it's supposed to be a special day of peace. Peace of heart. Not necessarily, there's no peace in this world. Not yet. There will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, but that's still a ways off. That means he can't come back for his church. He can come back for his church at any time. And he has promised that one day he will. But he won't be coming to the earth at that time. There's still 7 years of tribulation. So as we meet together this Christmas morning, we have a lot to look forward to. A peace when we are all gathered together in the air to meet the Lord. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, that's a promise to you from God. And he doesn't break his promises. Many individual people are hungry to hear the words from anyone, "I love you," and especially to hear those words from God. They have no contact with Him because they don't know about Jesus Christ, and they don't understand the story that we read in this book we call the Bible. The story is really a source of great encouragement. And that's one of the things that we seem to expect this time of year. It's especially good, especially encouraging to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot see your hearts, only God can. I am not in a position to understand whether or not you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But that's what this day is really all about. This day was the beginning of it 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came for a purpose. I'm a sinner. I stand before you a sinner. We are all sinners. And Jesus Christ came that your sin might be forgiven. He came and paid a price for your sin, the price that you should have paid. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers your sin and makes it possible, if you will believe and place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved and to be a child of God. And then this day becomes a special day of peace to you. Christmas is really a day all about the love of God. Most of the time, it requires some kind of tribulation to bring us to a place in our lives where we are willing to trust God, or where we're willing to call out to Him and ask Him to intervene and intercede in our lives. For those who have done that, this is a very special day. It is a day of great peace. But it is not without tribulation. And tribulation is a part of everyone's life. Your life is not going to be without the occasional problem. Your life is not going to be without the occasional tribulation, but that is a part of life. And today is a day where we accept and recognize a particular emotion. As Paul was writing to the Roman church, particularly in chapter 5, he mentioned the way that God has developed to reach out to each one of us to be able to express His love to us. And beginning in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." That's why I ask, please don't ever pray for your pastor for patience, because there's only one way to get it, and that's through tribulation. If you've been praying, "Oh Lord, give me patience," boy, are you asking for you're going to get tribulation. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And then it says tribulation, that patience worketh experience. And the experience is what we understand and go through. When we have the tribulation, it brings patience. That patience brings experience. It brings an understanding that God knows what you're going through, and God's going to come up with an answer. He is. He's going to come up with an answer. And then experience brings what today is all about. Experience brings hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What a great thing to experience. What a great thing to think about this morning as we meet together and celebrate Christmas. It's our being aware of our lack of ability to fix problems that causes us to turn to the one who can help us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he died over 2,000 years ago. 3 days later, God brought back his life, and he rose from the dead. And for 40 days, he ministered here on this earth to his disciples, to groups, crowds, 500 people at one time. And for 40 days, he proved that God loves them and you. That's what those 40 days were all about. And then he ascended to heaven to be with God. And this morning, as we meet here in this auditorium, he is standing at the right hand of God, knowing what your needs are, knowing what you need, knowing how you're hurting. And many people are hurting inside these days, and they don't know how to fix that. God can. Jesus Christ can. He's making intercession for each one of you. Each one of you who knows him as personal Savior, he's standing at God's right hand making intercession for you, asking God to fix your problem. Asking God to take away the hurt. And folks, there are hurts. You can't see them on the outside. But they're there. They're on the inside. There are losses of loved ones. That hurts. There are losses of position, losses of friends, losses of relationships. Those are all hurts that Jesus Christ came to take away. And we don't think about it many times, how God takes away our hurts and how he wants to fix our hurts. I don't think there's probably a person here this morning who doesn't want to be loved. We all want to be loved. That's part of life. Baby cries because it wants attention. But what stops a baby from crying? The love of its mother and those who are caring for it. And so we all want love, and that's what Christmas is all about. It's the proof that God loves you. That's why he sent Jesus. The passage in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 is God's will for your life this morning. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, the love of God, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our prayer for the people around us, the people that we love, the people that we know, the people that we live among. It's a fact that God sent his love through Jesus Christ. But we don't experience God's love until we experience Jesus. Jesus is the key to eternal life, to the love of God, to the peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ that we come to understand the fruit of the Spirit and the relationship with God that exposes his love to the lost soul. We know that God is love, But we don't sense that love until Jesus unlocks the desires of our soul for the spiritual relationship necessary for that love to flow into and out of our lives. That's what giving gifts and things there are all about on Christmas morning. It's supposed to be a showing of love as God showed us his love in giving us Jesus. Today we call his appearance Christmas. And that's what this day is supposed to be to the born-again believer. This is a celebration of God's love to the child of God. There is really only one gift that matters. It's Christ. The name Christmas comes from the traditional Catholic phrase, Christ Mass, and it was combined to form Christmas. They did do some things in the Catholic Church that were good. Whether we like it or not, today, for most of the world, is just a holiday. Many people spend more money than they want to or that they can afford to. And they feel obliged to give gifts that are not deserved. For the lost person, Christmas has no real meaning. That's sad. For the born-again saint, it's a full expression of God's love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:1-2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We know that the love of God began at the creation. 2,000 years ago, a virgin gave birth to the Savior and laid him in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. And over the course of the centuries, men have written songs about these things. And I'm so glad they have. It's so good to be able to sing about parts of the Bible. How much God loved us, we'll never know. Christmas means so much more than just giving and exchanging of gifts. It's a time of celebration of God's love. And I trust this day you will experience the love of God in your hearts. In 1 John 5:1-5, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, for whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What a fantastic piece of knowledge for us to know the one who created the heaven and the universe, to know him as our personal Savior, to experience him, his Holy Spirit living within our hearts. Jesus is real. He actually did all that we read about in the Bible. The only thing that he has not done yet is to return and reign for 1,000 years. But that is coming. That is coming. For the Christian, that is coming. We're told by the Apostle John in 1 John 2, 5 and 6, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. As we have him for our example, we should try to walk even as he walked. To do that, we'll have to walk in the same kind of love that God has showed to us in sending his son to die. I believe that Christmas brings out that kind of love. Our love doesn't come from an outward manifestation, but from inward prayers for the Holy Spirit's working in the lives of those who know who Jesus really is. Think of what God actually did for each one sitting in this sanctuary. God permitted himself to become a man. What a step down to actually become a man. He had to be fed. He had to be cleaned. He had to be cared for. He had to be protected. He came not as a man, not as a king, not as a prince of peace. He came as a baby, to experience and to show us that we can be like him if we choose to be. I wonder, and I know we have a lot of guests this morning. Our congregation knows that I like to ask questions. And so I'm going to ask a question. Something you may not have ever thought about. I wonder what restrictions God put on the devil to keep him from harming that baby, from ending that life, as so many lives end in youth. The devil did try and destroy the child. He used Herod. But he was 2 years too late. Herod killed all the babies in Bethlehem, hoping that he would be able to destroy Jesus. Jesus grew up for 30 years. He became a man. And then he began his ministry. We're not ever told that he tried again, that the devil tried again. But God, who is Jesus, grew up to serve you, to die for your sins. And though we think of his birth this morning, we must also think of the fact that he came to die. Think of all the things that you and I have done to thwart God's will. Think of all the things that Jesus had to die for. Yet, he still loved us enough to bring someone into each of our lives to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us enough to send his Holy Spirit to convict us of the fact that we needed a Savior. He sent his Holy Spirit to convince us of who that Savior was. And so most of us here this morning, I trust, Know that Savior is our Savior. Know that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just come to have a Christmas tree decorated for him. He didn't just come to make sure that everybody gave us the presents we wanted or hoped for. I always got socks and underwear. Some of you may have gotten the same things this morning. But God loved you enough that we celebrate a day each year when we think about the fact that God sent his Son to die for us. Today, this day, we have a chance to show God how much we love him for the things that he has done in each of our lives. We are not here by accident. We are here because of God's love. God's love established the laws of biology so that you could be conceived and delivered into this world and into this life. He watched over you as you grew up, and he became a child. He delivered you into the world. He watched over you as you grew up and became a child. For each of us, there have been many Christmases, but we have not always understood what they represented in the lives of the love of God. Today, we can acknowledge God's love as the driving energy behind this day in each of our lives. God's love is why you are sitting here this morning. It's not because somebody forced you to come to church. God wanted you here so that he could show you from his word that he loves you. He loves you more than you will ever know. God's love has ordained a purpose for each one of us for this day and for every day. For every day that he gives you life, he gives you a purpose when you get up in the morning. We know that there will be a day when he will gather us all who know him. And we will be transformed to be with him for the rest of eternity. Every day will be Christmas. Every day in eternity will be Christmas. Today, Christmas is a celebration of the giving of Jesus as a manifestation of God's love for you, of his ultimate love. When we are gathered to Jesus, we will experience the ultimate fulfilling of his love. Jesus is coming again. And if there's one message that we all need today, that is it. He is coming again for his children. I trust that you will be one of them when he comes. As it says at the end of the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If there is someone here this morning who does not know him as their personal Savior, if you don't know him, at the end of the service, I'll be standing at the back door. Let me know, because I would like to pray with you and for you. And if you don't know Jesus and you're a woman, I'll send a woman to be with you and show you how you can know him. If you don't know him and you are a man, I would be glad to sit down in my office and show you how you too can become a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a phrase in the book of James, says, ye have not because ye ask not. And that is God's commandment. If you want Jesus Christ, all you have to do is ask. God will not refuse you. This would be a fantastic day to come to know him if you did not. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would ask that as we have opportunity to share Jesus with others, that you will help us to use that opportunity according to your will. Father, if there is someone here in this service this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may your Holy Spirit touch their hearts. May they realize that they need him. And Father, may they let this day be the day when they come to know him. Thank you, Father, for each one you've brought out this morning. Continue to go with them, accomplishing your will in each heart, each mind. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.